Hello, this is Scott Wells for... Where am I? Where are we? No, we're actually here at Gene Protas' annual Halloween... No, we're not Halloween.
Halloween party. This is actually from the future.
We're in the future. We're just now back in the future. I got Alex Rangel. Hey, Alex, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, Scott. Yourself?
I'm doing just awesome.
I'm really enjoying the bat mitzvah here. We're having a good time.
So what are you going to get for Groundhog's Day?
Hopefully my shadow back from the hall.
Well, you sure cast a large one, that's for sure.
You do.
Also, Dennis Castro. I got over here then, Dennis. Hey, Dennis, want to say hey?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Happy New Year.
And also, Bruce. Hey, Bruce Chadwick. Bruce, say hello.
Yeah, we're gonna change.
Hello.
That was Bruce Chadwick, formerly of Fort Worth, now of Houston, Texas. We're so glad to have him now as one of our local guys. So welcome to Houston. And over here, Danny, what's going on? Daniel Garcia, you may have heard of Mr. Garcia.
I doubt it. What's shaking, bacon?
If you would have heard Alex talk about him, he may have had something to say about it.
Exactly.
he's kind of his manager and tells you what you need to do.
He tells me what I need to
say. I've got this really cool trick with a Svengali deck I want to show you.
Let's do it right now.
Right now. Thank you, Bruce. Everything's going on. So, we're hanging out at the annual Magician's Party. Banachek, you want to say hi?
Yeah, I'm looking for the scotch.
Oh, it's right over here. You see right there? It's the.
Thank you.
We got a good selection of scotch. Anyhow, so we've got probably, 50, 60 people here this evening? It is throngs of people, masses of people inside and out, and the temperature is freezing. Here it is, January the 9th, I guess, and temperature outside must be, 48? It's freezing.
It's about...
For us.
It's pretty cold.
They've got heat lamps outside the backyard.
I was wearing shorts 3 days ago. So.
Yeah. Riding my motorcycle yesterday.
Riding your motorcycle?
Oh, yeah, all day. Bright and sunny.
And Cherie Kay? Hey, Cherie.
Hey, how's it going? I don't know who I'm talking to, but hello there.
You're talking to the world. You're talking about the podcast, perhaps.
Oh, well, hello, world.
For all 20 people who are listening over there. So
it's good. Small more world. In this room than in this world?
This proves it. Yes, it does. So we've got just a bunch of folks here, local Houstonians, who are hanging out at the party and enjoying the dinner that Gene Protas and Betty had smoked a turkey.
Man, that smoked turkey is off the bomb. I ain't gonna lie. It's so good.
Yep. And they had, what was it? It was a ham?
I think so. It was a brisket.
It was a brisket. That's right, because he's Jewish. He
exactly.
Doesn't have ham.
Exactly.
Right.
He didn't have ham. That doesn't work. That doesn't work here.
Nine with the swine.
You guys talking about tricks of the turkeys.
Yeah, we're talking about turkey tricks.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So, anyhow, that the food's good, the wine. So, did you put a little scotch in there, Banachek?
Yeah, just a little.
Okay, good.
A little.
But I just got to add a touch. I just maybe need some ice.
What kind of scotch did you get there, sir?
This is a Lismore. I've not heard of this before. I think I got the last of this, which was quite tasty from Speyside.
And Mr. Banachek, what did you get over there?
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing?
Yep. Very tasty.
So you didn't get the last of it?
Oh, I guess not. Yeah. Did you get...
Oh, no, I got...
No, you got the Osher by... I got the last of that over there.
Ostracizing.
That's right. So tell me, I want to find out, what are you guys working on, Alex, you and Daniel? What are you guys doing this year? What's your resolution for 2011?
Well, we decided to, because we were having a resolution, we're doing things that we already do. So basically,
that
Alex...
way you can make sure you continue to
exactly.
Do it.
So Alex's resolution was
to pump it up a notch.
To eat a cake a day.
Looks like you've done so...
Right,
I'm so doing, good so far.
Doing fabulous, actually. I'm on
cake,
point, on target.
Yeah. So, what was the one you had last night? What was the
Carrot cake?
Carrot cake last night, but it didn't have any
awesome.
Carrots. Here is actually a carrot in a cake in front of
me. Cherie just brought a chocolate cake for us, right?
Which
here.
Alex has already finished half of. So, and there it is. Bam, that's all he has to do, right there. He's good for the day.
Johnny,
it could be a cupcake. So So.
Well, cupcake counts.
Could be
okay.
a cupcake.
Any kind of cake. So that's one way of keeping a resolution. Just continue to do what you're doing, but more of it.
Yeah. Right.
Just to excess, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of. Okay.
And then he had an idea also of resolutions. What was the thing that you told
him? I'm doing
him?
For years and years and years growing up, I always wanted my own flea circus. Yeah. And I'm doing a flea circus without fleas.
Yeah.
I'm using Spanish cockroaches.
There's quite a few of those around.
Right? Yeah.
It's a Spanish cockroach.
Spanish cockroach.
A cockroach circus, basically.
Right. Okay. Cockroach circus.
We like to call it the CCC, or the SCC, is what we like to call it.
It sounds like the countertop in the apartment
Exactly.
There's some college.
We hold it at all of our relatives' houses.
Okay.
So, but it's going really well. He's got the one little thing
with the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That little wheel.
That's a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. It's a little wheelchair for a cockroach.
So we kind of roll it up the ramp.
We like to call them cockroaches, so we don't offend people.
Cockroaches.
So, yeah.
Cockroaches.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to twirl the R's.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to roll it.
So, Banajak, what is your resolution for this year?
I don't make resolutions.
Good man.
No, I don't.
You set goals.
Exactly right. I set goals, yeah.
What is your goal this year?
I haven't set it yet.
To make a resolution.
To make a resolution.
Make a resolution, exactly.
Oh, yeah, we just talked about turkey.
Gino, that turkey is awesome. Gene Protis over here. Yeah, Protis.
Hi, everybody. Is this Magic Newswire?
Yes.
All right. How's everybody doing? This is absolutely thrilling tonight. This is our annual Magician's Party in Houston. This is, I think, the fifth or sixth time we've had it at our house. And we're just having a terrific time. Food's great. Wish you were here. There's plenty of it. So, thanks.
So next time people come to visit, they need to send you an email to tell you they're coming.
That's exactly right.
Because it's open to them.
It's open to anybody who's a member of the IBM or SAM or one of the local magic clubs.
AA, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. What? Yeah. If you're taking it one step at it, one day at a time.
I'm taking one dessert at a time, actually, right now.
Then you need to be here. But if you're coming through, there's a limited number of reservation spaces, but give us a call.
How big was the turkey you smoked this year?
I smoked two 23-pound turkeys. There was a 15-pound brisket, and I think we had 20 pounds of shrimp as well.
So it's a small party. Yeah. It's a very small party.
And so we just about finished it, I think.
Actually, there's more turkey out there. So.
There's still more.
Yeah. That's right.
What he does, he waits till the booze is all down and everybody's hungry. That's when I
And actually, this is the second annual as well, because wasn't it last year that you did the podcast?
Yeah, we did a podcast. We were doing a live podcast last year. Yeah.
Oh,
this is recorded. This may not be broadcast until March.
Then screw you.
This is the annual spring event, is what this is. So.
Isn't that the technical term?
Yeah. So, let me talk about conventions. I mentioned earlier, you and I were talking, Daniel, about conventions you're going to be attending. You're going to be going, you and Alex, you're going to be heading over to where? To
We have a few. Actually, Banachek and I are doing
Italy
together. IMX together, I think,
and
as well.
You're in Argentina.
Yeah, he's in Argentina.
You did that last year.
That's the Buenos Aires thing.
Yeah, Buenos Aires, yeah.
And Alex and I both did Argentina last year.
Yeah, you only told him about that. So
amazing, wonderful convention.
Oh, you had such great pictures from that last year, too.
They treat you so well. It's about the magic, but I've never been treated better at a convention by any other host. I mean, unbelievable.
It's amazing. The host there is just, it's phenomenal. You're treated like royalty. It really is incredible. So.
There's a brand new convention called IMX, and you're doing that, and I'm doing it too.
That's in Vegas coming up.
Yeah.
When is that going to be? Do you know?
Wow. I think, is it May or June or something like that?
I have the date, so I think it's in April.
No,
never mind. It's in May.
That's right.
There's no editing
it's
here.
It's April or May.
So Alex is going with him. Am I going with you?
I don't know.
IMX is in May. Italy is in April.
Alex isn't going with me. He's actually hitchhiking there.
Okay. Heidi will be going because Craig Mitchell is putting it on. So, and he helps run the School of Magic over the College of Magic in South Africa. Yeah. So,
And is that, you know, it's like in late April? I mean, is it around the time they have the 4F conventions, the last weekend of April?
I want to say that the date was like the
early or mid
14th through the 17th,
kind of like mid-April-ish.
But of May.
Oh, May.
Yeah,
okay.
May.
Well, hey, you can check it on your smartphone while we talk right here. In fact. And so beyond that, okay. So Italy, you both gonna be doing one in Italy.
Yeah, the Masters of Illusion. Is that it? Masters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when is that gonna be?
In 2011.
This is 2011.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, this year. Well, you know. Good. Well, you're on top of that one.
That is actually in March, and I have the dates on my smartphone. I'll look it up. Yeah.
I call Alex and I say, when is IMX?
So what am I doing?
When is Master of Magic?
And beyond that, we're going to be going to, Manchek, you and I are going to the Gatlinburg, the Pigeon Forge for the Winter Carnival in March.
Oh, yeah, Winter Carnival.
The Daytona in November.
Magic on the Beach.
Magic on the Beach. That's right, that's right. You said you've not done that, but you want to do that?
No, yeah, I haven't done that or Daytona, actually. Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge, yeah. Well, they moved that from Gatlinburg over to Pigeon Forge a while back.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, I haven't done either one of those. Yeah, I'd love to do those. That'd be great.
Well, you know, Alex.
IMX is going to be the 23rd to the 25th of May.
Okay.
IMX 2000.
That's starting weekdays, I think, isn't it? Because I think the Fectors, Finger Flicking Frolic, is going to be like the 27th, 8th, 9th, and 30th, I think, which is like the end of the month, like that weekend or something.
Italy is April 13th to the 17th.
Yeah.
April.
Yeah, I just had my conventions crisscross.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Anyhow, so a bunch of stuff is going to be coming up. Project-wise, as far as stuff that you or we're working on, anything?
We've got a few things in the works, but they're like at the very beginning of the works, so it's that kind of thing you don't really want to talk about. I keep talking about doing a PK Touches book, right, like a deluxe edition.
Right.
And that really is something I would like to try to get out.
The accompanying DVD.
Yeah, I want to get it out this year. Yeah.
Okay, that'd be awesome. I hope we can get that out.
These guys, they put stuff out every week.
Yeah, Danny and Alex, trick of the week.
That's what we do. No, this past year was the whole Garcia project, so that a lot of work.
Tell me about the Garcia project, and what is that versus Theory 11? What's the difference between the two?
Well, the Garcia project is a DVD. Theory 11 is a website. So,
okay, so you don't have like a Garcia. You have GarciaMagic.com.
Yeah, I do have Garcia Magic. Garcia, the projects that we did, we put a lot of work into. Theory 11 sells them, Illusion sells them, everybody sells them. They're going really, really well, but that took a lot of time. So, we're kind of chilling. I've got some stuff that's around middle of being done. I've been showing it around at different conventions, but it's one of those things where I still don't know if I want to put them out yet or not. And Alex is saying yes, and I'm saying maybe, and then I say maybe, and he says yes. And so we're going back and forth. So we haven't really decided yet. So, okay. So I don't know.
Exciting DVDs coming out, like I don't know what, not cross promotion, but
with the Sankey. I'm doing a project with Sankey. We're doing a project that we're getting ready to start shooting. Actually, we've already gone through all the preliminaries, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I'm also doing a project with Chad Long. And so,
very good.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. And both of them we're trying to have out by Christmas.
Are you doing anything with MagicCon by chance? Speaking of,
not this year. I did last year. So I think they're trying to kind of get fresh faces, that kind of thing.
Right. And have they talked, Manichek, with you about the Essential Magic Conference, or doing anything over there?
Nobody's talked to me yet.
Portugal? Hopefully, maybe somebody will pick up the hint. Maybe they will do something with us. I'd love to go over to Portugal. That'd be cool. Because that was a great convention this last year, I thought. Did you watch any of that online?
I didn't get to see it. I was actually traveling, so.
So tell me about this past year, 2010. What was it that kind of were highlights or something that stuck out for you guys?
For me, putting PS1 back out, the edited edition of PS1, because I've been wanting to do that for years. I mean, you always, even with me, people want it. Let's put it one back out the way it was. And I really didn't want to, because there was that demand. And it was a hard thing to hold back, but we finally did get it done. It was out there. And
you want to do it right.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. So to me, that was a highlight. It may not have been for other people, because they had one already. But this was the expanded edition, and the credits. And I just wanted to do it right.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it and everything than two. Yeah, that's true. And I think it came out and did very well. Daniel?
For me, it was the projects 4, 5, and 6. That was the highlight of my completion of that. It was a lot of work. A year went into making that. So I was really excited when those finally finished.
When it finally got loose, you kind of birthed that baby.
Exactly, yeah. It's a you know, it was a big weight off my shoulders. And so far, they're doing really well. All the reviews are very positive. So,
yep.
So I'm very fortunate.
Good. All right. Well, anything to add, Alex?
I think for me, for 2010, one of the major highlights was being able to find a torrent site of Manatech's material and not have to pay for that. So I was really excited about that. I spend most of my money on major meal purchases. So
and more cakes.
It depreciates the bank account rapidly.
But he's the reason we had to hire somebody to take down the torrent site.
That's right. That's right. And you were talking about, what, Donkey Monkey, or there was something, I guess, some other sites.
Whoa. We can't talk about that on this channel. I'm sorry. That's not
Donkey Monkey?
Yeah, Donkey, we can't talk about that? Donkey Monkey here. That's for another time, another place, strip club maybe. I don't know.
That's over across the border, right?
That's in Tijuana, I think.
Well, I thought that was a website or something, I guess.
Well, they probably have that, too. It is the 2000s.
All right. Well, that'll be enough then for now. This is Scotty out.
All right, I'm here with John Starr then right now, still at the party over at Gene Protas's. And I'm, as I said, visiting with John, and I want to get an update on how Terry Seabrook is doing, by the way. So tell me, what's going on?
Well, Terry was in a hospital ward for many months and refused physiotherapy. And because he was in a surgical bed, there were people queuing up for it. He had to be moved to a nursing home where he has a bed of his own. And unfortunately, he still refuses physiotherapy. The physiotherapy would actually mean that he could walk out of the hospital, because that's all that is stopping him is just the physio, because he's had the operation, which was a success, and now it's just a matter of physiotherapy, which he refuses. I spoke to his wife, Hilda, 2 days ago, and she said Terry is still refusing the treatment. The worrying thing is he is not eating at all, and he's being fed by a tube. And she said to me, you can see every bone in his body, his collarbone is sticking out, and she's very worried that his days, unfortunately, may be numbered. And when I speak to him, he is just
not very weak.
Very, very weak. Not the Terry I've known for the last 23 years.
Not funny.
Yeah. Nothing. He has given up. And I'm very sad about it. And I'm sure anybody that knows Terry and have seen Terry will feel equally as sad. And I can't see a good outcome to this whole event.
Now, here we are on January the 9th, and so I just want to point out what the date is today, so that when this finally is aired, I'm hoping that some of you who are listening to this get an opportunity to contact Terry, those of you particularly in the UK, anywhere near Bushy, that you can go over and visit.
Absolutely. He just needs spurring into action, and that's the hardest thing at the moment. I've tried various means of which to try and galvanize him into saying, okay, I'm going to get out of this bed and start my physiotherapy. Unfortunately, it is anything but hopeful at the moment.
Now, well, thank you for the update, John. I know you talk to him on a regular basis, and I appreciate the update over here. And let's pray that he does a lot better and maybe he starts his physio.
Well, I will certainly keep Scott up to date with everything that I find from Terry in each of our phone calls, or with Hilda, his wife. I will keep Scott updated to carry on this phone message.
Good. And I'll pass this on to the rest of you guys as we hear more over here from John then, too. Thanks very much. Okay. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells, and I'm talking with Michael Satterwhite, and he's the one who's been in charge and working with the youth, young magicians here in Houston. And we have quite an active group, and we've been working with them for a long number of years. Scott Hollingsworth had the young magicians over at Frankel's each Saturday. It seems like that he would work with them, and then Michael had taken this over some time ago. So, Michael, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Glad that you're here. I wanted just to chat with you a little bit about the young magicians, and you've been working also then with the Renaissance Festival as well.
Yes.
And you had then also some youth who have been coming over. Charlie, we'll see you then later. Take care. So you've had youth who have come out to the Renaissance Festival and been performing. So tell me a little bit about your perspective of youth and magic in Houston.
Oh, actually, the number of kids we have and the talent level is just absolutely amazing. The kids, we have some kids that almost never miss one of our meetings. Some of them sort of hit and miss, but that's like with any organization. Some of these kids are actually taking it seriously enough that they are starting to work professionally. For example, Grant Freeman. Grant is, he's doing parties. He's actually been hired, he was hired on New Year's Eve to work. That's a 14-year-old magician, by the way.
Okay.
We have two of our young magicians who were hired originally as actors for the Texas Renaissance Festival, and after demonstrating what they were doing, were actually had their contracts modified to have them doing street magic on the path at the festival. Both of these kids, one was Jenya Hansen, the other was Peter Volpe. Both of these kids did a good enough job that they've already told them they want them back doing magic next year.
So the kids are just doing
this phenomenal, yeah.
The kids are incredibly talented, and no matter how you look at it, that says we've got kids as young as 12 who are working professionally.
Wow. Wow. That's great. Now, you teach also. I know that Phil Camp teaches a class at, like, after school or something, and then you teach also in the mornings, or what? Tell me about your classes.
Actually, these are actually classes that are part of the school curriculum. In the Gifted and Talented program, the kids get a special elective every 9 weeks, and these are some really exotic courses, things like robotics, film editing. Well, one of the courses is magic, and they get a grade just like everything else. It's part of their school year. They run as a 9-week course. And these kids, actually, there's a waiting list to get into the class. We have, it's one of the most popular classes they have out there.
How many students do you have in the class?
At a given time, I will have 22 kids, and we run a new class every 9 weeks.
Okay. So then you have, like, a certain thing you teach, like close-up and stage and mentalism, or?
Okay, we start with cards. From cards, I go to sponge balls. From sponge balls, we go to ropes. Then we go into some smaller things. For example, we do mentalism. And incidentally, I've arranged for Vanacek to be one of our guest lecturers this time on that. We do a series on doing impromptu magic. We also teach magic history. We teach performance skills. I try to tell them from the beginning that the performance skill is actually more important than the magic they do. If they know
right,
how to perform
exactly.
it.
Right.
They know how to perform it. The smallest magic becomes a major effect.
With your presentation.
Absolutely.
So they put their personality into it, and you
and
emphasize
if they,
that.
And if they don't, they fail. They learn that right off the bat.
So you grade them on them. Huh?
Absolutely. As I said, this is actually part of their school curriculum.
Now, the other thing we have, in which we have the Young Magicians Club that meets monthly. Tell me about that.
That is actually sponsored by the SAM. We stress trying to have SYM membership for that, although we do not restrict it. The key is to teach the kids to actually about the art of magic. I'm actually rather passionate about that. Magic is not a new art. It may be the oldest art known to man. And I actually want the kids to appreciate it as the art that it is.
Right.
And so we spend a lot of time on that. Everyone that knows me, what I said before still holds. The performance skill is the important part of it. And so we try to stress that. I'm also trying to get them to meet as many of the local magicians as possible. So I like to bring in guest people to teach. The kids pick a thing. Each month, the kids have chosen the thing.
Yeah, they vote on whether they want to talk about whatever.
That's correct.
Ropes or illusions or trick
right,
or
right.
cards.
And cards. We recently did sponge balls. They've done levitations. That one was a pain for me. Cards are very common. They really like the cards. Sometimes we've even done box magic, for heaven's sake. Or we spent 1 month talking about gaffes, how to gaff things. I mean, the kids are really interested in learning how it's really done.
Right.
And we do this once a month.
And how many people? How many kids from 7 months a month?
I have had it where I had as few as two kids show up, and we teach the course the same way. At that point, the kids may be getting an almost private lesson. I have had it a couple of months ago where I had 20.
Right. So, and their parents a lot of times come too.
Oh, almost always. The kids can't drive themselves.
Yeah, but they hang around up there too.
Oh, yes. And so I never know. We've got a meeting this coming Saturday. And especially being we don't meet in December, I have no idea what I'm going to have. I hope I have yet to have a situation that I got there and no one showed up.
Yeah.
But especially when you haven't been there for a month, they forget. I am getting an email out to them actually tonight. But I never know. I've had as many as 20 kids.
And each year we also, as part of our club meetings, we'll have like a youth night, and they'll have a contest, and then we will award something and give them prizes, which amount in cash and tricks and books.
Oh, yes.
And convention registration.
Yes, and the kids, actually, I'm trying to stress that a little harder this year. I'm also trying to set up a similar contest for this year at the Texas Renaissance Festival.
That's a great idea. You had that last year, didn't you?
We didn't this year. We did last year, and we had, I think, both days we had, I think it was like 6-7 kids, but these were kids, so help me, one of them did a routine that would have impressed me from any member of our club on a stage.
Regardless of age.
I don't care what the age was. That kid was just absolutely amazing.
Who was that?
That one was Grant Freeman.
Yeah.
Grant.
That's a name you might hear in the future, I think, too.
I think you're going, well, that kid, since the kid was 8 years old, Grant has wanted to be a professional magician. That kid lives, eats, and breathes magic. He has recently started showing me a routine that, well, he doesn't have everything worked out, but he's actually creating it. He's actually creating it from scratch himself. I mean, I've never seen anything done exactly this way before. And he's
very original.
It's completely original.
That's great to hear. Yeah.
He's thinking, and well, what he's doing is taking the principles of magic and treating them as if they were, if you will, a puzzle, and putting them together to create what he's trying to do.
Right.
And say for a 14-year-old, that should impress somebody.
That's exciting. You know, we do have such a vibrant group of youth. You know, wanting to become magicians. And thank you, Michael, you know, for doing such a good job, you know, working with them. I know we really encourage youth to do better magic all the time here in Houston, and so we welcome them to our meetings. And so I'm just letting you guys all know that out there in podcast land, as you happen to listen to this, to make sure that you also try to develop some sort of a youth program of your own, so this way that you could encourage the youth to be our future.
I would agree with that. Keep in mind, magic, as I said, may be the oldest art known to man. But if we don't encourage it in the youth, it may not be here forever.
It may not be there forever. Thank you, Michael, very much. I appreciate this talking to you. In fact, I want to talk to Trixie over here in a second if I can. Excuse me, Smith. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And Trixie, if I can just chat with you for just a second. I got Trixie Bond over here then, too, that most of you know, of course, as of course being a lady who is most well-known. Of course, she's been on the cover of Magic Magazine, as well as known as doing a lot of school shows, children's shows, and kind of a... you had developed a character as Mary Poppins kind of a thing.
Yes, she is a human development character in the making.
it changes every day.
It changes every day. Trixie, welcome. So, tell me a little bit about how many years have you been working and doing children's show?
I'm not going to tell you how many years. I mean,
well,
you might
how
as
much
well,
you weigh, then.
I was going to say, you might as well ask me how much you weigh. I'll just say 40-plus years.
A long time.
A long
yeah,
time.
That's right. Because you had won a contest at the Texas Association of Magicians when you were a youth. Is that right? You competed in...
Could be.
A long time ago.
Could be. Come
but
on,
you really
Scott.
When you found your niche, really, with children's magic and performing for birthday parties and school assemblies and that kind of a thing.
I've always enjoyed that.
Yes.
Of course.
And why? What was it about that?
What was it about?
Is it motherly instinct? What is it about? What is it about entertaining children?
I think it was. I've always enjoyed children, and because of that, I always thought I would like children, so I had four children of my own who are grown now, and there was some time during their growing up, I wish I maybe had fewer, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
But
you were pretty busy, you know.
I was.
Doing a lot of shows and everything.
I was, yeah. Even when they were small.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed children.
Did you ever take the kids with you when you were doing a show?
Do you know that all four of my children have worked with me?
Really?
And all four of them hate magic because of that?
No, none of them will ever perform magic.
No.
So they're not going to pick up mom's career?
No.
Okay.
So I have boxed everything I've owned. It's all labeled. And I went with one child over everything I own. And I said, if I die this year, please know this is worth so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, and everybody should do that, actually.
It is, yeah, I've done
that
it.
Way they know
I
how
have,
much
like,
really
inventoried everything I've owned.
Yeah.
I did.
So you say that your kids have worked with you, but when they were, like, infants, did you ever bring them to a show, like, and have the kids, like, when they were...
Before they were born? I went to shows before I was born.
Yeah.
I did shows with my oldest daughter, who's now almost 30, before she was born. I did shows when I was 8 months pregnant. I was thinner then. You would never have known.
Now, how did you develop the Mary Poppins type character? I mean, that evolve, or is that just an idea you had after the movie, or what?
That was an idea that started in 1968.
I shouldn't say Mary Poppins. I should say nanny type character.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I'm like brain dead. So in 1968, I had a thought of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
Because she's so magical. Not having very many female role models, I had to invent some from characters I knew through literature. Is this a video camera?
No.
Okay, good. Characters I knew through literature. So Alice in Wonderland was one who was magical. And the next magical character I knew was Mary Poppins. So to emulate her, and now I'm stuck. So is there a grandmother that is magical? Because I'm a grandmother now.
Yeah.
I'm looking for that. So it's either
like Nanny McPhee.
No. I'm not that nasty. Come on. Although Mary Poppins was nasty.
In
if you read P.L. Travers, I mean, we all think of Mary Poppins as the wonderful, lovable nanny if you've seen the movie. But if you've read the book written by P.L. Travers in 1936, I think it was, or maybe the first book was written in 1938, she was very nasty. She was hardcore.
Really?
Yeah. If you were a child and you had Mary Poppins as your nanny, you would not like her. But she was pretty interesting.
From what standpoint? I mean, interesting.
Oh, because she
did magical
tea. Yes, of course.
She'd make
you
fly.
On magical tea parties that she made you behave, which is what many nannies cannot do today.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
So, do you make the children behave when you're at birthday parties? I mean, are you kind of nasty in a way and saying no, you can't cross this line, or no, you can't pick that up?
Yes.
Okay.
I am stern. I wouldn't
that's
say
the word, stern.
Nasty.
Yes, stern, but not
I would
nasty.
Say stern.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've only made one child cry, and I think this child had a problem, because I have the best control verb in my entire vocabulary is the word sit. One simple word, sit, and said sternly enough, it makes children behave. You needn't say no more.
You just stop, look at them.
And say, sit.
And they do. And they respond. Do.
And they respond.
Interesting.
And they shut up and they sit. I've only had one child ever dematerialize into tears, but I think that was a child with problems.
Yeah. Well, aside from that, what would you say would be one of the most memorable shows that you have performed?
Holy moly. Oh. Well, I mean, there are some that are very heart-touching.
Okay.
I think the most memorable child was a six-year-old boy who, when I entered the home, was very, very shy and clung behind his mother's skirt, so to speak, and he really did. And when I do close-up and introduce myself and develop a rapport with this child and gift him with an ability to do magic by saying, ooh, we have magic breath, he developed self-esteem, and through all the entire hour that I was there at this birthday party, he was able to entertain his friends and do the magic himself because he could blow on it, and he built his self-esteem up till he almost exploded, and his mother contacted me later and said his life has changed.
Wow.
Because of his birthday party, and his whole life evolved because he now had self-esteem because something he could do in front of his friends. And that's what magic's all about, is changing lives.
Wow. And you've changed a lot over the years.
That was one.
That was one, but I'm sure there have been others that you haven't heard about.
There have been others.
Yeah.
And others that have touched me. I would be like the new Speaker of the House. I would boo-hoo if I would talk about them.
Yeah, John Boehner, yeah, crying all around.
Yes. I mean, I've been invited to deathbed hospitals, where a child is on a deathbed hospital. He's asked for me to come to do magic for him.
And you, speaking of the White House, you've worked the egg roll at the White House how many years?
3 years.
3 years. And that was a lot of fun, I assume, too?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of cold, rainy days where my red costume faded onto my white shirt.
Oh, my.
Yes, I have costumes hanging in my closet that I can never wear because of that. You know, I've written
in
books.
That's your White House costume, yeah.
Exactly. I'll never touch it again. I've written in books, don't perform outside, and now I know why. And I'm living to that word.
Yeah.
Because you can get melted upon.
Yeah, as you did.
Yes.
Good. Well, thank you very much. You've lived quite an exciting life. Had a lot of shows.
I've had a great life, Scott.
And you've enjoyed every moment of it.
Every single moment.
You're not done yet.
Maybe. Maybe not.
You're kind of slowing down. You're not performing as much as you used to.
No, and I'm enjoying not performing
You're enjoying
as
that part of it. It's a different time of life. So
it is a different time of life.
And nothing wrong with that either.
No.
Well, good.
Jesus.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I think that's probably enough then from Trixie Bond and myself. This is Scotty out.